In order for the questions, so for each question, I will go in order, Latin America, Asia Pacific, Africa, and Europe, for each question in turn. So I hope you've designated somebody just to tell me the number that you've come up with. And so again, this is a Likert scale, so this will be 0, 1 for nothing, and 5 for totally or completely. Okay, so for question 1 about governments including outside groups, for Latin America. Who's speaking?
Okay, Carlos Aguirre was supposed to speak, but he hasn't. So I think Alberto Soto can brief us with the information.
Alberto Soto.
Alberto Soto speaking. Only the first question first, or all questions?
Question 1, question 2, and the numbers.
Question 1, what is your number for that?
Alberto Soto, 2.
Asia Pacific, question 1.
Okay. We found it really difficult to come up with anything but a low average because of the huge variety of countries, geographies and entities that we have. So you have everything from a tiny little place like Norfolk Island or Cocos and Keeling Islands with a bunch of dubious practices, potentially, arguably, right through to highly sophisticated populations such as, you know, usually you use Australia, New Zealand, and China in its own way is also highly sophisticated in what it does. So the huge variety made it all very challenging. So to get down to brass tacks, sorry, Narelle Clark for the record, I apologise for being late. So government, we got a 2 for the engagement in discussion, a 1 for decision making with a glimmer of hope. We also ranked industry and we gave them a 1 for discussion, a 1 for decision making. CCTLDs, we saw this huge, huge variety of models and approaches running from, well, which reached an average of around about 2. Decision making, 1. And the RIR, well, we all hold APNIC in quite high esteem.
Sorry. Question 3. Okay, so I guess we're going to do this differently. I'm going to go to each region and ask them all questions. I'll come back to you, Alberto, about the other answers. So, Narelle, I just want to confirm. Questions 1 and 2 was about governments.
That's right.
The first one about was discussion. The second one was about decision-making. You gave me a 2 and a 1.
Yes.
The third and fourth questions was about CCTLDs and RIRs. We lumped them together in the question. So the first one, again, was discussion. The second one was decision-making.
Well, so in those, we rated the CCTLDs separately to APNIC because they're quite distinct entities. And
yes, because there's a clear difference.
And the variety of responses as far as the CCTLDs, when you have some 100-odd entities easily compared with one RIR, it's an absurd... It's an absurd
process. So we did it very elegantly.
We did it very elegantly in a table.
And?
And the answer was CCTLDs averaged out at a 2 because of a huge variety. The decision-making area came to a 1. For the RIR, we gave them a 3 for engagement in discussion and so forth, and a 1 for decision-making, but wanted to give them credit for processes with APRICOT and policy personnel. Done.
Okay, so the last one was a 1 plus. And for the final question, the one about the silos.
Oh, again, so for silos, we rated that separately for all the 4 categories that we ended up with. government is very siloed, and you need to draw distinctions between legislators versus bureaucrats. You know, we're... They've got
Sorry, Narelle, I have to stop you, but we're not at that level of detail. We're trying to do the same thing, and I can't break it down for one region if the others aren't doing the same thing. So I'm going to ask you to do something you didn't want to do, which is give me some aggregates.
Give the lot a one.
Okay. Alberto, I'm going to go back to you. If you could give me now all five answers. Sorry about that.
Alberto Soto, pregunta uno.
Alberto Soto speaking, question one, the answer is two. Question two, answer two. Question three, answer three. Question four, answer three. Question five, answer three. Thank you.
And I have to say, Alberto, I very much appreciate the efficiency of that. Okay. Sorry. Okay, for Africa, who will be speaking?
My name is Otunto Twene. For Africa, number one, question number one, we have three. Question number two, we have one. Question number three, we have five. Question number four, we have one. And question number five, we have one.
Excellent, thank you. And Europe?
It's Sandra Hoferichter speaking. We actually tend to say three for all of them, but then we started a discussion and went more into detail. So I have for question number one, it's a three. Question number two, it's a three. Question number three, it's two. Question number three, CCTLDs, because I have a different numbering here. question number four, it's a two. Question number five, it's a four. Question number six, it's a four. And yes, we do operate in separated stakeholder groups.
Okay, and just as a matter of disclosure, for what North America came up with was for question one, we came up with three. For question two, we came up with two. For question three and four, we came up with three. And for silos, we came up with five, that it's very siloed. Okay, so we will try and put this together into a chart.
Evan, there's a question five and six for the RARs. Separately, and you didn't pick that for North America. Okay. That's good questions.
Okay, I guess we missed it in splitting up five and six. We'll do that after this break. We'll convene and figure that out. Okay, having done the table and done the rounds of that, I'll hand the floor back to Leon for the rest of the session.
Thanks, Evan. And thank you all for your quick responses. And, well, the next topic we have on the agenda is a discussion about the ICANN, the multi-stakeholder model within ICANN. So I guess this takes us to what Sergio Bronstein was telling us earlier, and other people have raised concerns about how is the multi-stakeholder model working within ICANN? Is it really working? Is it broken? Do we have anything to fix? How can we fix it? Which are the stakeholders that aren't being taken into account? And, well, these are, like, basic questions, and, of course, we open the floor to listen to your comments, and we'll have Bill Drake coming in to talk about the multi-stakeholder model within ICANN in some minutes. But before that, I would like to begin the discussion, and maybe we can have a set of questions for when Bill comes in, have him give us his points on those questions. So we begin the queue with Eduardo Diaz.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question again? I missed it at the beginning, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. This is Leon Sanchez again. Well, there are several questions. The topic is the multi-stakeholder within ICANN. So we're narrowing it down. We began the discussion taking a broader look to at the multi-stakeholder model, but now we're narrowing it down to within ICANN community. So what we should have as output here is a set of, or at least a set of points that we think are working, a set of points that we think are not working within ICANN, and of course a set of suggestions to improve the multi-stakeholder within ICANN. So the floor is open for participations. Okay, so the first in queue is Alberto Soto.
Alberto Soto, ayer di un ejemplo.
Alberto Soto speaking. Yesterday, I gave an example on how our RALOs view the acceptance or not of those organizations that intend to certify as ALS. The RALOs discuss internally based on consensus or not towards ALAC, but the actual decision or determination is made by ALAC. Although we make the research, our opinion is not binding. On the other hand, seat 15 that represents the end user is voted by the RALOs, and its vote in the board is not binding, it's not mandatory with respect to the RALO's opinions. In my opinion, for the end user, and with these two examples, I think that the multi-stakeholder model is not working. It should be changed. Why? Because, for instance, in the relationship with governments, although it is conflictive, it is handled through the GAC. There is a relationship. But the question with the end user is internal, within ICANN. We have to increase the participation with the ALS, but with opinions that should be taken into account. I even believe that a second seat for the end user would be perfect. Thank you.
Next in queue is Alejandro Pisanti.
Thank you, Leon. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. We'll take a few seconds to go back to the concepts even of stakeholdership and then address things like Alberto has said. In the 1980s, approximately, enterprise theory, the theory of the firm, the theory of how businesses have to work, was shifting from identifying stockholder value. The mission of the companies was to make value for their owners, and this value was seen mostly as business, as profit. The theory shifted to asking the companies to plan for stakeholder value. It was not only making money as a, not only making a profit for their owners, for the shareholders, but also making sure that they added value for their workers, for their clients, for the government that was regulating them, that they were not spoiling the environment by making more of a profit, but throwing out a lot more of waste. So the name stakeholder came into use first in the enterprise. Then it would come into use for regulatory environments and so forth. When ICANN was, when the idea of building something that became ICANN started, the vision was to involve all stakeholders in this sense, but it wasn't anymore the stakeholders of one company. It was the stakeholders of the internet, or more specifically of the domain name system and the IP address allocation system, as well as the IETF's part of keeping protocol parameter databases. ICANN was the idea for ICANN was formulated around this the participation of all stakeholders, including final users of the internet and so forth. The definition of who were the stakeholders on the user side, on the, what we now see on, at the at large, in part, the definition of stakeholders was discussed between the idea that the stakeholders were only the direct users of the domain name system, people who are domain name registrants or domain name holders, or all users of the internet, because of course you also have something at stake in a well-functioning domain name system. If domain names don't resolve, you as a user are also in a bad condition, but your influence or the influence you need or are expected to have on the management of the domain name system is very different from the fact that from the ones that that are clients of the domain name system. On it went, and in 2003-2005, in the World Summit of the Information for the Information Society, government representatives started to ask for a place at the table. That's where the equal participation of all stakeholders began to come into the language. So this small bit of history is to tell you that ICANN was the first large-scale, global, structured multi-stakeholder organization without, before the name was coined, to use the phrase, the French phrase, it was multi-stakeholder avant la lettre, before it was written. And the equal participation of all stakeholders, equal footing, and so forth, and the word multi-stakeholder for internet governance actually appeared after, several years after ICANN was actually started functioning and even had already been restructured in 2003. So, number one is, you know, ICANN is not perfect, but it is one of the most advanced experiments in multi-stakeholder governance, certainly for the internet. One of the things that I've mentioned here is that it has to have, since it makes decisions that may affect pecuniary, but let's say money interests, as well as political or civil society life and so forth, it also has had to institute mechanisms to review the decisions and to take them back, to revert them. What we're looking now is at an advanced stage of multi-stakeholder participation and decision-making. We're not looking at the invention of it. So for the paper and the review that this session is meaning is starting, I think that's the starting point. We already have built a multi-stakeholder organization that has a lot of design. A lot of design hypotheses have been tested, improved upon, taken away, and so forth. Coming specifically to the users of the internet through the at-large, I think that Alberto Soto has put forward an important point for discussion, if not for conclusions, which is, what is the at-large part of ICANN actually doing for the users of the internet? And I think that there we have to begin to look at what he said, you know, the connection between government, which is sort of indirect for the users, the discussion we had yesterday where the governments actually can say, you know, we are the elected representatives of the people, or we're the legally recognized representatives of the people. What else do you want? Why do we want? We already discussed it yesterday. But the point is that the at-large organizations now have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, before someone else does, how effectively we are representing the users or benefiting the users if we're not constituted as representatives, if we're not elected, let's say we're not labor unions or trade associations of users, but we are spontaneous organizations that do something else and are sensitive to the users. And we can say this of most of the at-large organizations. So I think that one of the next steps we have to do is a self-review of the at-large organizations, how we're functioning, what we can propose among ourselves so that each of our organizations can improve the way it accesses user opinions, user sensitivities, users' needs, and transmits them, and to have some accountability of how this is happening before this is demanded from us, from anyone else. And I'll finish there for the moment.
Thank you very much, Alejandro. Next in queue is Adam Peake and then Carlos Aguirre.
Adam speaking again, and I've got 2 points to make. One, following on from Alejandro's reference to stakeholders in the corporate environment, where we think of stakeholders as shareholders and the rights that they have within that organization as a result of being a shareholder or a stakeholder, particularly with regard to decision-making and the board. They elect and select board members, and they also have the right to question and often deselect, to remove board members. So it's a question, is that something that could be added, or is that something that's missing from ICANN's model, in that we as stakeholders do not have the power to remove a board if we think that that board is acting inappropriately. And I think in many cases it's not just the board, if we think of it as the board of directors, but it's also the leadership of organizations generally. I'm not so sure that many charters, and I'd have to actually check this, but, you know, can constituency remove GNSO councillors in the way that a board of directors or leadership of a corporation could often be removed? So that would be something to ask about the structuring of the model. The other is to think about the silo model itself, and is that a problem? The fact that we live in constituencies, we live in different GNSOs, CCNSOs, ALACs, etc., does that tend to build us in sort of entrenched positions where we develop these positions within our little silo, and then is that position so firmly sort of part of our, we feel that position so strongly that when we actually try to compromise, it's very difficult to actually listen to other people and reach compromise. Is the siloed environment the right one? And I think we've heard from people like from the CCNSO community that we need more cross-community working because the silo model might not be working so well. So I suppose that's relevant to our discussion. Is the siloed approach within ICANN a good method for sort of completing our multi-stakeholder working? Thanks.
Thank you, Adam. Next in queue is Carlos Aguirre, and then Sergio Bronstein, and then back again to Alberto Soto.
Gracias, León. Carlos Aguirre.
Carlos Aguirre speaking. Thank you, León. I will go back to Alex's words. He says that we, ALS, should get reorganized. I don't know if that comes first. Okay. If it doesn't come first, I agree with you. ALS should be reorganized. That is not our case. I will speak for my organization, AGLA and ENSE. These are open organizations, and with this participation, they have access to capacity building, which we do on a daily basis at universities, at our spaces of involvement on an ongoing basis. So I take the comment as a general one, but not directed to us. However, we do believe we have to review the model within ICANN. And I said this yesterday at the beginning, and I repeat it now. I believe the model is overall, it is good. But as I also said yesterday, and as I always teach in my classes, the multi-stakeholder model is a good model. It is a really good model with some remarkable aspects. But also, within ICANN, there are areas for improvement. Let me, if I may, make a couple of comments that come up to my mind quickly. I know there are many others, but let's say the acceptance of ALSs, as Alberto said, the election of the board member by ALAC and his representation or non-representation, because when he gets to the board, he's now a board member and no longer an ALAC member. I think we have to see that. I remember when I was at the GNSO, I remember in a well-known publication, a magazine, a journal, there was an article about the NOMCOM corruption. And that was forgotten so quickly. There was no analysis made of that. I still have many questions about that. I'm not going to extend my views to anyone else. I don't know if it's corruption, but I do know there are many influences. I know many of us have been working for many years together, that there are people who talk to each other, and that sometimes has an influence on decisions. Another review we should make for a change is that in GNSO, it may be that 7 votes win over 14. So the division into houses in GNSO, I think it's not the fairest. On the other hand, the contracted party house, party's house, they have votes that are cast all together. And then the non-contracted, where you have business, intellectual property, ISPs, the non-commercial user constituencies, all of them from different breeds. And when that unity is broken in the non-contracted house, 7 win over 14. It doesn't sound like being too democratic. And there are others, there are other et ceteras. That's why I say that the process should always be subjected to reviews. However, I again say that the model is good. However, there are specific areas we should review. And perhaps that is the message we should put in on our statement, that we should go into a deeper analysis of our model. It has to be modernized and streamlined. However, the model is good. We stick to it. However, let's see what is not working very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. And exactly those are the kind of questions that we try to address within this discussion, which are the actual deficiencies that the model within ICANN has shown and how we can improve them or at least correct them. So next in queue, we have Sergio Bronstein. And then, yes. So please.
This is Sergio Brostey for the records. Thank you for giving me the floor, Leon. I think that we're reaching a turning point in ICANN, and we need to speed up this turning point so that we can get into a new model able to resolve the issues. And since I was listening to my colleagues, they have plenty of experience in the organization, and they have spoken their views. And we can detect, therefore, that we need to list the problems that the different ALSs and the colleagues that are in the organization in real life, we need to detect the concrete and actual problems, that is to say, to create a working group so that we can identify and list the problems. We need to verify their scope and try to solve them. This would be a topic or one topic. And the other aspect that we need to review is which the multi-stakeholder are, and what is their importance. That is another task that we need to take into account. What is the importance that they have in decision-making? I insist, governance has to do with decision-making. When we agree, there is no need to make a decision because we agree. But in this case, we are discussing about topics that required decision to be made, and who are going or who will be the decision makers, who will be consulted, and who will be making the decision. That is the other aspect we need to take into account. That is a subtopic within the main topic. And I agree with Carlos and with Alejandro in terms that we need to walk together and work together so as to change this and review ourselves. And that is another topic. In Lagrallo, we started to create an agenda related to questioning, in the better sense of the word, questioning who is who in terms of commitment and in terms of commitment to the users. These are the two indicators that should be taken into account, or that the organization should take into account to allow ALS to be recognized. And I don't understand why regions do not decide who will incorporate. I mean, it's difficult for me to understand that the region is not mature enough or does not have enough experience so as to recognize an ALS that wants to be part of the organization. Thank you.
We have Alberto Soto and then Eduardo Diaz. So please, Alberto, could you take the floor?
Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you. Perhaps I didn't express myself correctly. I was not saying that we need to remove a board member. When I said that their opinion is a non-binding opinion with our, in terms of our opinion, that is written like that. So that is what I mean. I am not saying that we need to remove a board member because a person is not performing well. There are many candidates to that position who said, despite the fact that I am not obliged and that this is not binding, I will take into account the opinion of end users that come through the different railos. That is to say, this is a promise. I don't know if then, for one reason or another reason, this is done or not. We're in the middle of the process, someone said in my country. I still do not have the pictures on the wall, and you are asking me to show the pictures. My administration is starting, or my management is starting, and the members are still in the process of learning because we are in the process of producing the strategy. But we will have state policies so that once the policies are applied by are approved by an assembly, well, the rest of the positions and the mandates will be fulfilled. We are modifying, we are changing the relo, and that is a positive thing. Our assembly, we will deal with important topics. Of course, there will be other topics that will be pending, but this is important because we had an analysis before giving our opinion about the multi-stakeholder model within ICANN. Thank you.
Eduardo Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Eduardo Diaz. I think one of the things that I believe and I understand that we're talking is about the implementation of the model. You know, how the conversations go from bottoms up. And I asked this question a long time ago, and I was told that, you know, in terms of ICANN, a lack is the recognized organization that make the decision. You know, even though the information comes from the bottom, from the RALOS, it's the ALAC, the ones that provide that. And I think that's something that might be able to revise. I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. I'm sorry, it's Martin. Martin. Thank you, Martin. You have the floor.
Now I beat Sandra because she put up her thingy. I think just to connect it to the previous session, if we would compare the course, the scores for ICANN, for sure I would go for 4 out of 5 as compared to the 3s, 2s, and 1s that we had for the other constituencies. And just to note that, not a 5 because there's still clear opportunities for improvement, but I think if you compare it to the world, it's worthwhile recognizing that the attempt is here and it's probably better here than anywhere else.
I see Alejandro Pisanti raising his hand.
Just very quickly to Martin, I have made a private exercise called the WISISometer, which is an Excel table in which you can grade the organizations for how much they fulfill the WISIS criteria of internet governance being democratic, people-centered, equal participation of all stakeholders, and so forth. And you're right.
Okay, next in queue, we have Sandra Hofer-Richter.
Thank you, Leon. It's Sandra speaking. Sandra Hofrichter. I very much agree with what just has been said by Alejandro and Martin, that it is actually the only model or the best model around, but it needs to be improved. And I was wondering, we had this discussion in our small group yesterday, is there any other multi-stakeholder model out there which is actually working or which is practiced in any other fora? Are we internet people the only community who is performing this way of governance, of new governance? This is a question I just ask here. Maybe somebody has an answer on that, can talk to me privately or share it with all of us. What I would just want to share with you is a thought that it's good that we are having the discussion here, but the discussion is somehow from a very specific point of view, from the ALAC end user at large perspective. But I know, because I'm quite good connected to other communities as well, that the business sector, for instance, is dealing with the same problems. They have problems to organize themselves sometimes. There are some big companies which are running the shows, but the small businesses, they have really problems to organize themselves and get their voice through and have a weight against the big companies, the big shows. Also, what I experienced from new GTLD applicants, they felt also that their voice is not heard enough during the application process. So I don't want to, I just want to remind us that our constituency, that our community is not the only one within ICANN which sees that the multi-stakeholder model is not working out perfectly and needs to be improved. And it's not only that the poor civil society is not being heard, there are other communities, and we probably won't believe that, or some of you won't believe that.
Listen to the GEC.
Yeah, the GEC. I mean, they are complaining about the same. So I think this discussion would be good if we are doing our homework here in this fora. But it would be better if we put that on to a cross-community discussion and deliver our input to that discussion, the input we just discussed here during our session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandra. That might be something worthy of including in the final report. So that's a great point. Thank you. And Ivan Lipovic, you have also raised your hand.
Yeah, this is Evan. I just wanted to address Sandra's question earlier about what the ICANN model of multi-stakeholder and what else exists. We talked a little bit yesterday about two other approaches that are similar but have significant differences to the ICANN model. One was the one used at Net Mondial, which was also a format. It's not exactly like ICANN's.
But it's internet.
You're talking about non-internet approaches to multi-stakeholder. Okay, sorry. I misread your question. Okay, sorry.
So, Martin.
Yeah, no, I did some research on that as such, because global governance as such is an issue, of course, and I haven't found an other multi-stakeholder approach that is more extensive than the internet one. And I say internet one because for me it also includes IGF and something like Net Mondial, where you see there's a clear recognition that no stakeholder can do it alone, even if they would want to do it alone, and it's exercised. If you look to global civil society, there's many things being subject to global conferences, and it's not really multi-stakeholder either. And so I would really think that this is still a shining example, and we can polish it much better than it has been polished today.
Thanks, Martin. Adam Peake.
Thank you. Adam speaking. Just to follow on from that, and particularly Alejandro's point about the WISIS test, of course, Net Mondial came up with this set of principles as part of its outcome document, and within that we have internet governance process principles, and I think that it builds on the WISIS, except for the people-centric aspect, which is not mentioned as a particular sort of criteria there. But one of the, you know, it begins with, and I'm looking at them here, it says multi-stakeholder and then has a description of what that is, and then open, participative, consensus-driven governance, transparent as another principle, accountable as another principle, inclusive and equitable, distributed, collaborative, enabling meaningful participation, which also includes a notion of that actually has to be financed. You can't just say we're going to be open, but we actually have to have capacity building and the ability to actually then participate through some sort of financial or support in that sense. Access and low barriers and the agility of the policy-making processes. So we're seeing a whole set of principles that can be applied to what are good, open, inclusive, bottom-up, multi-stakeholder type of processes, and perhaps we might want to refer to these as the principles that ICANN should be ticking off and making sure that it does accomplish for all of its different stakeholder or all of its different silos and processes. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam. Well, while we wait for Bill Drake to, well, if he can come, because we're.
Sorry, no, he's got GNSO.
Okay, well then, we won't have Bill with us. But however, do you want to say something, Alberto? Yes. Okay, so Alberto Soto, please.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much. I do agree with Sandra when she says that this forum should deal with not only the relationship, but with the model related to the relationship between the end user and ICANN. Most of us represent end users. This is our mission. This is our objective. That's why we speak about that, because we have the knowledge and we represent the end user. Particularly, I may have knowledge about ICANN and its relationship with the government, but I do not have enough knowledge to speak about its functionality, for example, or if it is suitable or not, or about the problems. So for that, for this specific point, I would like to have a representative from GAC for that person to tell us what is their relationship with ICANN, because we speak as end users.
Thank you very much. Again. So next on the agenda would be breaking up into groups again. I think the way we did it yesterday, geographically, like this side of the table, this other side of the table, and this side of the table here will work. And the basic questions to answer or to spark the discussion within the groups are the following. Is equal footing real within ICANN? That's a tricky one. So is equal footing happening within ICANN? What are the essentials to keep the different stakeholders engaged with the discussion? How do we build consensus? Is it a problem that stakeholder groups are typically divided in the configuration of government, civil society, private sector, etc.? And one particular question that Evan added to the set is there any use in the term public interest? And who exactly is ICANN accountable to? So, Gisela, could you help us display the questions?
You can learn if you are on Adobe Connect.
I'll paste them to the Adobe Connect. Yeah, those are the previous ones. So let me paste them into the chat in the Adobe room. Okay, so the questions are in the Adobe Connect chat. So let's split into groups, please, and discuss. We get some 40 minutes to do this, then come back with a summary for Evan to take note on that. And yes, Gisela?
Sorry to interrupt. Just before you go into the breakout sessions, I'll be leaving in 40 minutes. If I can just remind everyone that we'll be leaving for lunch, finishing here at 1 o'clock. Unfortunately, you can't leave your computers here because the room is not locked. Meeting in the East Wing lobby, that is where the check-in is, reception. So just when you come out the top here, please follow your Raylo. They'll be holding a board up like this, I know, but we got 150 people to get there. And you'll be walking straight down Parade Street. If you get lost, you'll do it on purpose because it is just literally straight down. And these will be here on the table for you to take when you leave. And we'll see you there. Please be on time. We'll be serving lunch when you get there. Let's say 1:30, 1:45, the CEO of PIR, Brian Cute, will be giving a short presentation. But you will already be eating by then, so you won't go hungry. And we'll have a Q&A session at about 20 past 2, which will be moderated by Martin Bottermann, because Brian Cute will have to leave us by then. And then we'll be leaving there at about 20 to 3 to come back here to start the session again at 3 o'clock. But I will leave in 40 minutes, so please just follow your leaders upstairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. So that's a reminder for us to keep it short and to leave on time for lunch. So, well, let's break into groups, and please let's answer these questions to the best of our capacities. I'm sorry, Alejandro. Oh, I guess that's Gisela, that's not me. So there they are in the Adobe Connect room chat. And I'm not sure if the last one pasted, but exactly, there they are. There they are. So yes, this is not more about regions, this is about tables.